Welcome to worship this morning. We're excited that we're all gathered together to get today. A few announcements we'd like to make as we get started in worship. We'd like to find out who is here today, and the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad and write your name down, give us any contact information you choose, as well as check the appropriate boxes. That helps us find out a little bit more about you. We appreciate that. We ask if that goes down the pew so everybody has a chance to fill that out today. Once it gets to that last person, when you are done, if you could send it back to where it got started today, we do ask that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, when it comes back to you, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us out with that. Couple of reminders. You saw in your bulletin, you will see a Mother's Day offering reminder. I want to tell you about that for two reasons. Just that we are having that offering, but also it's Mother's Day next week, fellas. So make sure you do whatever you need to do because it's Mother's Day, and prepare now. You have been warned. You have 7 days. All right, next week is Mother's Day, and we look forward to celebrating with all the ladies who take care of us here at College Park. So, reminder about that. Children's time, we are having that today. Just after the first hymn, invite all the kids to come down and join me. Want to say a thank you for everyone who provided exam pack goodies. I went on that trip this week and have a few more to deliver tomorrow. Very thankful for all those who made that possible. It was good to see many of our college students, and they're very thankful. They like sugar, they like chocolate, and we had those in abundance. So thank you very much, and that helped them get through exams. Let's see. Also, this afternoon, from 4 until 7, we're having our spring fling. We're inviting all of you to come, bring a neighbor, bring some friends. If your neighbor's not your friend, bring them especially. We want you to come, and there will be free food, games, activities for everyone. Our GAs are holding a silent auction. They've been pulling together, I think they're up to 28 baskets of a variety of things that are going to be up for auction. I have my eye on a car washing basket. All right, so don't try to outbid me on that one. But there's all that money is going to go towards missions. It's going to be a fun afternoon. There's only a 20% chance of rain, so you might as well say it's a 0% chance of rain because it's not going to rain this afternoon. Come and get on the inflatable games, enjoy some food, and just being together as the body of Christ today from 4 until 7. Let's see. I think that's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. If you're a guest, we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We invite you, just raise your hand right where you are, and we want you to take a packet of information. You've already given us your information a few moments ago. We're thankful for that. We want to give you some information about College Park, and we're blessed by your presence today, and we pray that this time of worship will be special for you. We do have a rose today. We're very excited. Dylan May is here, and he and Mom Melissa are doing well, and Brother Bryson and Dad Chris. Chris was actually on usher duty today. Yeah, we're glad. We need that kind of commitment everywhere, including in our nursery, Sundays 9 and 11. Okay. So we're excited for the May family. New births. It's a beautiful thing. When babies come into this world, we're reminded that as beautiful as that moment is, when we receive Christ, we are reborn. We are given new life. That's why we come to celebrate today. New life that Jesus has given us. Are you prepared to celebrate? Let's do it together in Jesus' name. that was good. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for the beauty of the music that we have heard and reminded of how beautiful you really are and how you made us with a love of music, a love of worship, a love of you. Many times we try to deny these things because we can be selfish and we can want our own way, but you call us through the cross to be reborn, to change our heart about what is important. So be with us in this hour of worship, we pray. And may we focus everything we have in worshiping in you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite all the kids, come on down. Everybody take a seat. Crisscross applesauce right here. Everybody paying attention. She is resting. Miss May is resting. Okay. Can you take a seat for me, Jared? Right where you are. There you go. Come on, Kristen. All right. Come on, girls. We'll wait for you. Come on. Now, does anybody know what this is? It's a glove. But what can it do? What can it do? It's a glove. It can fly. Yes, it can fly. All right. What can it do? It can help you put out fires. Okay. All right. It can help you keep children under control during children's time. Okay. What? Here's the thing. A glove can't do anything unless I do something with it. The glove is just a glove. And until I put my hand in it or put my hand on it and do stuff with it, it's just a glove. Now, what can I do with a glove now? Can I play a handbell now? I can. Anything you can do with a hand, you can do now with a glove, right? Here's the thing. I want you to think about something this morning. Pastor Raymond's going to talk about you and I can do nothing without God. Nothing. The Bible tells us in John chapter 15, apart from God, we can do nothing. Caleb, I need you to come sit down here for me, please. Right down here. Come on. Thank you. Very good. Just like this glove, it cannot do anything until I make it. And what I need for you to do is to remember God is inside of you. He is ready to do something with you. He's just like my hand when I put it inside the glove. He is inside of you, and He wants to do something with you. Okay? Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank You for this morning and the opportunity to be together in worship, and we know that apart from You, we can do nothing. Just like this glove reminds us, we need You inside of us. And we thank You that You're ready to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to your seats now. Okay, let's go this way.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalm 22, verses 25 through 31. From You comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear You, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise Him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before Him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before Him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve Him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim His righteousness to a people yet unborn, for He has done it.
Oh. Before we pray together, I need to let you know that one of our saints has gone on to glory, Luella Perryman, who many of you probably remember, passed away this weekend, and we will have a service for her, a memorial service for her here in the sanctuary Wednesday at 11 o'clock. So it'll be this coming Wednesday here in the sanctuary at 11 o'clock. There will be a time of visitation at 10 o'clock prior to that service. So I want you certainly to be in prayer for the Perryman family and remember them in the time of their loss. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for the chance to thank you for all that you've blessed us with, to recognize your hand at work through us this past week, and Father, to give you the praise and the thanksgiving for that. God, we know that many have had trials this week. Many have seen loved ones decline in their health. Others have been thankful that their loved ones were kept safe in moments of crisis. Father, others have lost loved ones and are hurting deeply. Father, in the midst of all of this, you're still there. And sometimes it helps us to regain perspective on what truly is important. Father, help us to focus on those things, building up relationships with one another. Father, in our worship today, we pray that you would truly abide in us so that the worship that we offer to you would be worthy of you. Help us to keep ourselves out of the way, not make this about us, but truly to focus on you, learning more about you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom we have this morning together here in your name. And Lord, as the hymn says, we are just completely amazed at all that you've done for us. We are amazed at all you continue to do for us. And Lord, we realize that at one point we were nothing but sinners. But because of Jesus Christ, because of his love for us and his willingness to give his life for us, we can experience total salvation. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the many ways that you have blessed us, Lord. We thank you for our spiritual gifts that you have given us, and pray that you'd be with us. Help us to utilize those gifts the way you would want us to, so that we can reach out to other people. And Lord, we realize that everything we have because you have given it to us. We've earned nothing. We have been made stewards of all that we have. And Lord, we do pray that we would truly be good stewards of everything. Thank you for the faithfulness of this church, the faithfulness of these people, the faithfulness of our staff who continues to guide us and lead us. Lord, we just thank you for blessing us in so many ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes not from John chapter 4, but 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but not looking up, I'm so double-minded. A plank eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines and love like you did? Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame. They're the reason that you came. That lost cause, and I was the outcast. But you died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet. 'Cause you are good, you are good, and your
friend of sinners. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. And I was the lost cause, and I was the outcast. You died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet.
Social sciences are actually quite fascinating. If you read a lot about the state, the condition of society, and different things related to specifically Western culture, you'll find that social observers, social science, really cannot agree on what to call the present age, the present day that we live in. Many of you may have heard the term postmodern. You heard that one? Postmodern. We're living in postmodern times. Others argue that we're really not postmodern so much as we are late modernism, and that's kind of what they label it. But regardless of what you call it, one characteristic of our contemporary life today is quite clear, and that is the fact that we are putting less and less trust in human potential. You know, at one time it was thought that people could accomplish anything that they put their minds to. Let me give you an example. Did you see the moon last night? Wasn't it gorgeous? What do they call those, super moons or something? Yeah, super moon. That thing was, and I sat there and I thought, we put a man on that. We launched a rocket and we put a man on the moon with less technology than is in my smartphone. That's the truth. We hit the moon and landed on it. That is, of course, unless you follow the conspiracy theory, that was all filmed out in Arizona somewhere. I don't, whatever your taste is there, but you know, it just blows my mind that we hit that thing and landed on it and guys walked around on the moon. And came back, yeah. And got back. You see the movie was Apollo 13, we didn't know when they were getting back. You know, we got there and we got back. We've learned how to clone plants and animals. We've cured many diseases. We've learned how to cure them. And with a little more effort and a whole lot more money, the thought is that we should be able to cure AIDS, we should end world hunger, we should bring an end to war. All of those things are things that we think. But we also know statistically that there is less and less and less trust in those ideals anymore. People have awakened to the fairly obvious fact that there are things beyond human control. Let me give you an example. If we could, we would divert a rainstorm from an area that's already being flooded and send it out west where there's fires, right? If we could, that would probably be our human response. They don't need any more water. They need it desperately. But we cannot do that. We can't do it. Since we've mentioned the space shot and that type of thing, despite best efforts and technology and everything else, we still had a space shuttle that blew up in midair. And loss of life was tragic. Warfare is still, among nations, considered a viable option to settle arguments. You see, so there's this hood of pessimism that covers our vision, and what's happened is that we've learned to distrust the institutions and the sciences that once we placed hope in. Every improvement seems to do as much damage as it does good, depending on who you listen to. You know, we speed around the planet, but then say, well, all the pollution caused by that is really not worth the price. We can communicate instantaneously around the world. You know, I can talk to some friends of mine who are missionaries in Europe or in Africa instantaneously by Skype and other means, and that's unbelievable. But in doing so, we have opened new avenues for identity theft, for fraud, the dissemination of pornography, threats of terrorism, all of that. So you got good, you got bad, And why is it that we are impotent to change the world in significant ways? The reason is the same now as it's always been. We're human. We're not God. We're the creation. We're not the creator. Yes, we have done some good and notable things. There remains a certain amount of hope in human capacity that indeed we will make the world more livable. But any good thing that has been accomplished has come about because God placed creation in the stewardship of those most gifted to care for it. God is the source of creation. God is the genesis of all goodness. So now we understand, we understand what St. Augustine knew long ago when he said, apart from God, no good can come. The metaphor of the vine and the branches, I think, is a great object lesson in this great truth. And so I'm going to read to you from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Again, it's probably one that you've heard before. I invite you to listen again as if you have fresh new ears to hear. Jesus, as he speaks, he says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this is good news. This is bad news. It's bad news for everybody who wants to do their own thing, who wants to improve the world in some way on their own. The psalmist knew the trap there because in Psalm 127, he says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. He wasn't just talking about a physical house. Those who work, those who try to build anything, if you do it by yourself, if you do it outside of God's realm, you do it in vain. It doesn't count for anything. So that's the bad news. But the good news is, for those who are connected to the love of God through Christ and with the power of God flowing through us like sap through a vine, to follow Jesus' metaphor, like sap through a vine, if we allow God to flow through us, his Spirit to flow through us, good fruits will develop. That's the promise he gave us. In Hampton Court near London, England, there's a grapevine. It's actually quite remarkable. It's about 1,000 years old. Yeah, 1,000-year-old grapevine. And it has just one root, but the root is about 2 feet thick. Massive. Now, some of the branches are over 200 feet away from the root. But because of skillful pruning and cutting, the vine produces several tons of grapes each year. Now, even though some of the smaller branches are 200 feet away from the main stem, they bear much fruit. Why? Because they're connected. They are joined to the vine, and that allows the life of the vine to flow through them. The same is true. Jesus says the same is true with him. He is the true vine. Stay connected to him. And you see, there's a reciprocal quality here to this relationship. You see, honest believers, you know, if we're really honest with ourselves, we'll admit on our own, we have a hard time. We have difficulty repenting of sin. We have a hard time sometimes forgiving other people. We have a hard time showing patience in times of frustration. And we have a hard time demonstrating love in consistent and compassionate ways. But when the Spirit of God flows through us, we are strengthened for Christian service and discipleship. We know that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But we also know that God can use us. God's chief means of accomplishing His will in the world is through the work of those who are firmly grafted into the life-giving vine. So what can be accomplished when God's people abide in Him? What can be accomplished? Anything. There's no limit. Notice in the verse that we have to remain in context. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. In that context of us abiding in him and his words abiding in us, in that context, Jesus promises, ask for whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And while common sense dictates we're not going to have everything our way, the key word there is our. We're not going to have everything our way. We should be striving and desire to have everything God's way. And if we do that, we can take this promise seriously. Examples are all around us. Stop just a minute. Think about it. You know, God turns people's lives around. Amen? He turns lives around. God draws blessings out of the most seemingly tragic events. God brings vitality, new life to failing churches. God heals some unexpectedly, physically speaking, and brings great faith to others whose pleas for healing are not granted as they desire. These are general examples, but it wouldn't take you long if you just start thinking about your family and maybe extended family to come up with very specific things that you know God's hand was at work. On a larger scale, if you think about it, how do we solve some of the bigger problems that humanity's facing? How do we bring an end to war? How do we bring about justice? How do we bring an end to hunger? And I think the same principle kind of has to hold true for us. Apart from Christ, human attempts at peace and justice and solving the big issues of the day are empty schemes. Did you hear that? Apart from Christ, all of our efforts in these big issues are just empty schemes. That's why our best mortal efforts and noblest human ideas are fraught with failure. But prayerful and faithful work by those who abide in Christ are powerful forces in the world. One great example in our generation is the overthrow of apartheid in South Africa. You know, all politics aside, one side used weapons of war and entrenched racism, and the other ones, for the most part, used weapons of the spirit and hope, and they worked for justice, and they laid their lives on the line, and in the end, goodness, I believe, triumphed. And the world desperately needs to remember this kind of victory. It's a model. It's a model for any struggle for justice and peace. And apart from God, all efforts will falter. We need to remember that. But in Christ's love, no evil can ultimately prevail. Do you believe that? In Christ's love, no evil can ultimately prevail. Do you believe that? Didn't get a whole lot of response the first time. I thought I'd ask again. In a very real sense, we are people of the vine. Because when we're detached from it, when we're detached from Him, we may think we've accomplished something, but these things are more for our glory, not for God's. And He will not bless that. He says, abide in me. Abide in me, and my word abide in you. There was a tragedy in a small Texas town when the local school burnt down. It was over 200 lives that were lost. And obviously it was a tragic event. And when the town fathers got together and decided how they were going to prevent this from ever happening again, they rebuilt the school. And they said, we don't care what it cost.
We will put state-of-the-art sprinkler system in there so that this never happens again. We will be certain this never happens again. They installed the sprinkler system, and when the school opened, school officials were very, very deliberate about pointing out the fact that new sprinklers were there and community members could put aside any fears that they had that another tragedy like this could ever happen. After several years with no problem, the school began to grow. The community again was growing and vital. And they found it was time to add an addition onto the school. And so as the construction worker were beginning the process of attaching the new addition to the existing building, they discovered something quite interesting. There was a state-of-the-art sprinkler system that had never been connected to the water supply. The sprinklers that had been giving them such peace were completely ineffective because they did not have water. They were not connected to the source that could prevent tragedy. And there's a lot of believers who are like sprinkler heads. They didn't come out right, but you know what I'm saying. Make a lot of noise and just go around and around. You know, I'm just kidding. There are a lot of believers like those sprinkler heads. They look like they have it together outwardly. They look like they're accomplishing something, but they lack that vital connection to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to empower and to direct our lives and to literally put out the fires that would otherwise consume us. Jesus, as he's speaking today in this passage, he's on his way to Gethsemane, but yet he stops to teach this principle to his disciples about the bond that he wants to have with them, to truly abide in them. And them in him. And he was talking to his disciples. And see, gang, that includes us. Abide in him. Stay connected. People of God, apart from God, no good can come. And without him, it's just noise. It's just distractions. Let's pray and ask for his help. Precious Father, forgive us when we go about our own task with our own motivations, our own selfish ambitions. Father, teach us what you desire from us. Help us to hear the words of your Son, to make them a part of who we are. Teach us to abide in him and his words in us so that he can do unbelievable things through us personally and corporately as the body of Christ, plugged in, connected to the source of our power and strength and hope and peace. God, we pray that you would touch our hearts even now. Correct us at that point where we need to be corrected. Encourage us at that point we need to be encouraged. Strengthen us, Father, for the work that you have for us this week and the weeks to come. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that connection, that understanding of the relationship that you need with him, that's the most important decision you can ever make in your life. And I pray that you would say yes to Jesus Christ this morning. I'll be here at the front when we stand in just a moment and sing. If you'd like to talk about that, I'll be glad to talk with you about it. Or call me this week. I'll be glad to meet you somewhere and talk about your relationship with Christ. Nothing that would please me more. If you're here this morning and you say, I am a believer, but I just really haven't quite been plugged in. I'm not connected to the vine like I think I ought to be. This is a great opportunity for you to tell the Father, confess that to the Father, and ask for his help, restoring you, grafting you back onto the vine in a way that you can grow and bear fruit. And maybe you're here and you say, well, I'd like to be a part of this congregation. We'd love to have you. There are many ways that we receive members. be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that decision as we stand and sing together now. You know, because many of you know the Tuttle family, but in the 9 o'clock service this morning, Christy and Kevin and Jack and Jesse made it known that they would like to be members of College Park. All the boys, Kevin and Jesse and Jack, are coming for baptism, and Christy is coming by transfer of letters. So our next baptism service will be in less than a month. It'll be first Sunday, first Sunday in June. So again, we're excited about that, and we give thanks for their life among us already for the last several years, and they are making that formal today. I also would like to let you know about the vote that took place in the time between the two services. Item number one, which was new gymnasium, 214 votes were cast, 71% affirmative, so that motion passes. Item number two, which was the renovations to Smith Hall, 218 votes were cast, 73% were affirmative, so that motion carries. Item number 3A, which was the connector egress out, 203 votes were cast, 55% affirmative, so that vote passes. Item number 3, which was the youth renovation area, new youth area renovations down there, there were 207 votes total that were cast. 72% of those were affirmative, so that one passes. Item number 3C, which was the digital sign for out front, there were 204 votes total cast. 53% were in a negative, so the sign does not pass. So out of the five items, the first four passed and the last one did not. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your diligence. Let me say just a word, have a personal privilege here. Some of you have asked and expressed a concern, and I share your concern, about any time we have church votes, and some of my friends who are not Baptist pastors, they don't understand that concept at all. They don't get it. They say, why would you let them vote? But, you know, and there's always, when you have this many people, you know, you're going to have differences of opinion. And so there has been concern that, you know, if the vote goes one way or another, that it could affect the unity of this body. Let me tell you something. Unity does not come by agreement on whether you're going to buy this tool or that tool. That's not what gives you unity. Unity comes from the Spirit. The Spirit was sent to unite us as one body, to move forward. We may disagree on which tools we buy along the way, but we're still going to put them to use. Amen? Amen. And I know this body. I've been here 20 years. I know you. I know your track record. And now that we've voted on these things, you're going to get behind and make it happen. Am I right? You're going to make it happen. I have all confidence in that. And this is not going to be something that divides us. This is going to be something that brings us together and puts us out into the community and lets the people out there know that we care about them. We care about each other. We do. But we also care about those that are outside these walls. So be in prayer with me. Do what you can to help bring about harmony and peace and unity and those type of things. I think we're in good shape. I really do. I had a great peace about it this morning. It was something God gave me. It's unmistakable because it was from Him. I believe that. So let's pray together. Gracious Father, as one body, we come to you and we open our hearts to you. God, as we look at the challenges that we have for the future, we know that we're not capable of that. But we know that you are through us. So we pray that each of us individually would seek what you have for us, how you're going to use us, how you're going to bless us so that we can bless others, how you're going to use us as a corporate body, as a larger body of Christ, to truly be salt and light. Father, we pray that as we go from this place, you would give us a peace of knowing that you are in control. And Father, we thank you for that. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.